Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
And I ask another question. How good are you at predicting the future? Could you qualify as a crystal gazer and make some predictions? At the supermarket tabloids, there are various predictions about some things that we might expect to take place during this year. And I wonder, if we were invited to witness a preview of the future, that segment bounded by January 1st through December 31st, 2003, would we want to see what this year will bring? Well, in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the writer Moses presents an outline of the future of God's people. He points out that there will be a great difference between the life on the flat, fertile delta plains of lower Egypt and the hills and the valleys of Palestine and Canaan to which they're going. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse 10, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from which you came out, where thou sowedest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil." And he says in the next verse that he would send grass. So we notice some of what the future for God's pilgrim people was going to be like back then. And as we look at the pilgrim people and what life would be for them as they moved on into the promised land of Canaan, let's make some applications for those of us who are pilgrims today. And think about the future. Well, the first thing we noticed that the future was going to be different from anything that they had known in the past. And from the point of view of these Hebrew farmers, there was going to be some drastic changes in their methods of agriculture. Egypt had the mighty Nile River to irrigate the land. There was water control for the soil and for the planting seasons. We noticed there in verse 10. And in the land of promise, a land of hills and valleys, they were not in charge of the water, but they would be subject to trusting God, who would provide rainfall, and that was not under the control of man. Well, this country of 2003 that we have entered into will be different from previous years. Now, it may be just the turning of the page of the calendar, but life can be dynamic, life is active, life is busy, and you know, it's necessary for that. Because when there's no movement, there's stagnation, and following stagnation is death. And time flies, and with its flight, there are changes that are brought. And just think of the amazing changes we have seen in our lifetime. Changes in transportation. I can remember the A model Ford, but look at the transportation today. Supersonic jets travel into outer space for the astronauts. Look at the changes in communication. I can remember the first telephone in our community down in Dyer County, Tennessee. And for some reason, the thing was high up on the wall, and everyone that wanted to use it seemed to have to tiptoe. And then they would turn that crank and put a little apparatus to their ear and speak into that mouthpiece and tell the operator what number they wanted. And back in those days, when telephones got a little more plentiful, we were on a party line. Our first telephone, we were on an 8-party line. So you had to share that line with whoever else might be talking. And yes, there was eavesdropping that took place. But today we have our private telephone, and not only our own telephone, but now cell phones have become predominant and very commonplace. And you can stay in constant contact with people, or you can turn the thing off and be away from the annoying of it, as it sometimes is. And think about financial situation. I can remember when the talk was that one day there would be some kind of plastic card that people would use instead of money. And we know credit cards have been around a long time. And now about as prevalent as credit cards is the debit card. So that you can, instead of writing a check, just pay for a bill with the debit card and have it automatically deducted from your bank account. The computer age. Look at the advances with computers. First ones occupied several hundred square feet. And now with the microchip, you can have a laptop, and then even the miniaturization of Palm Pilots and all these other gadgets that perhaps appeared at your house at the Christmas season. Just tremendous changes. Well, what changes will we see in the year 2003? Will it be a cure for cancer that's discovered this year? Will it be a cure for heart disease? For AIDS? Will the economy improve? You know, we don't know what the future holds. But the future will be different from anything that we have known in the past. Just as it would be for those Hebrew farmers who were delivered from Egypt's bondage and now are instructed by Moses in that reading from Deuteronomy 11, verse 10 through verse 14, as they go into the land of Canaan with its hills and valleys. A second thing we notice about their future, the pilgrims back then, their future would bring new responsibilities. And with those responsibilities, were new possibilities for good or possibilities for bad. In their land were hills and valleys, and they were to go up and possess the land. It was an inhabited land, and they would have to conquer it. Thus, there were responsibilities for them. As we saw in verse 13, it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain. And then in verse 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heaven that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these words. So that he was reminding them that there were responsibilities they would have in going into the land, that they would need to cultivate the land, they would need to sow the seed, they would need to plant the crops, they would need to harvest those. And you know, friends, in this new year that we are journeying into, their responsibilities, we will have our hills and valleys as well. And for some, it will be creating the first home, and then the responsibilities go with being a new bride, or the responsibilities that go with being a new husband. And for those of us who have children, there's a responsibility of bringing our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The provision for our family, because if one provides not for his own, 1 Timothy 5:8, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And there may be in this new journey of 2003 some hard going at times, but there's no detours from tough duty. It involves pressing onward. And in the ups and downs of 2003, we must continually look to the Lord. Now, there may be times when we reflect on the past, but we can't look back and we can't go back. There's the sad commentary in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3 through verse 11, how that King Saul, in his disobedience to the commands of God, now has no longer Samuel as a counselor and as a guide. He's rejected the counsel of Samuel. He's rejected the guidance of God. But in his battle with the Philistines, when things are not going right at Mount Gilboa, Saul's a desperate man. And he will do anything to try to get some advice. And so he disguises himself. He goes to the witch of Endor, and he wishes for the old days. He wishes that Samuel could be with him again. And so he asks her to call up the old prophet. Well, Samuel had offered counsel and friendship and courage for many years, but Saul had outgrown Samuel. Now he longs for the old days, and he longs for the old prophet. But he doesn't like what the prophet reveals to him when he's brought up. Well, we can go back, not to yesterday, but we may need to go back to God, go back to His Word, go back to His guidance, go back to His love, and go back to His Son. So their future for these pilgrims would bring new responsibilities, and there will be responsibilities that come our way in the new year of 2003. A third thing we see from these pilgrim people, these journeying to the promised land of Canaan, was that their future is going to be marked by the only true security that man can know. In verse 12 of Deuteronomy 11, it's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. And we can be thankful that on our journey into this new year, that we are people whom the Lord thy God cares for. He cares for all men and all mankind. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A man was standing at the observation deck at the top of the Empire State Building. He looked down at the people 100 stories below, and he said, "Well, I guess that's the way God sees the world, just little tiny specks." And someone overheard him and said, "No, that's not the way God sees the world. God sees the world through the eyes of Christ, whom He gave to the world." The one who told in Matthew 18 of the man who had 99 sheep, but he left those sheep and he went out searching just for the one that was lost. God sees each individual. God holds our future, and He's concerned about every individual. And we must keep the Lord in our lives. We must learn to love Him, to trust Him, to trust His steadfast care, to depend upon His unchanging love, to look to Him in His magnificent wisdom. And how will you go into this unknown new year? Will you go with the burdens of guilt from the past? Will it be with blemishes of sin? Or will you turn to the Lord in obedience to His Word? And in your faith, would you repent of your sins, as Christ commands in Luke 13, verse 5? Would you confess the sweet name of Jesus? Would you then be buried with Him to have your sins washed away so that you can enter the new year as a new creature in Christ? If that's your need, we hope that you will. Or if it's your need to come back to the Lord because as a prodigal son or daughter you've strayed, we pray that you will do that. That you will enter the new year and accept the challenges that come. For today, my time is gone. Until tomorrow, I wish you a very pleasant good afternoon.